From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. It's been more than half a decade now since licensed recreational cannabis became available to buy across the 21st state. In that same time, intoxicating products made from another kind of plant, hemp, have developed a market of their own. But where the cannabis industry in Illinois is heavily regulated, hemp products, at least right now, are not subject to the same scrutiny. Late last year, Governor J.B. Pritzker called for regulation of the hemp market.
They can be sold anywhere, at gas stations, at corner stores, and they have no age requirement. That is a recipe for disaster. Even if they are consumed intentionally, these products can pose a significant risk to health and well-being.
Pritzker waded into a tense debate, and the results of that made headlines earlier this year. The legislation had broad bipartisan support, but it wasn't even called for a vote in the Illinois House. And that's because Democrats were divided on how to regulate hemp. The debate has been continuing in the current session of the General Assembly, so today, for the hour, we're going to talk about hemp products, what they are, why there are concerns around how they're made and sold, and why there are disagreements over how to regulate the industry. We'll hear from people in cannabis and hemp industries later in the hour, but we start with the science and legislation that got us to where we are now, and the questions about health and safety when it comes to psychoactive hemp products. We talked about this back in January with Jennifer Bash, a scientific consultant. She studied intoxicating hemp products being sold in the state in a report last year from the University of Illinois Chicago. We also heard from Dr. Mariah Ramondar, medical director of the Substance Use and Prevention Program and attending physician in adolescent and young adult medicine at Lurie Children's Hospital in Chicago. Because this conversation is on tape, we're not taking calls live, but you can let us know what you think by sending an email to talk@21stshow.org. All right, Jennifer Bash, I'm going to begin with you. At a scientific level and, you know, for a broad audience, what makes intoxicating hemp products different from, you know, cannabis, marijuana, weed that you might see in a dispensary?
So the difference between the hemp products is sometimes what they're adding to it. Some of them, when I did the testing, actually are just cannabis. They actually are not hemp. But some of them have synthetic cannabinoids added to them, things such as Delta-8 that is created by CBD. It's not really grown within the plant. So those are the biggest differences, are the additives that they're putting into these products.
What is that? What, for those of us who are not as steeped in this stuff, what are some of the differences between cannabis, hemp, CBD, Delta-8? You mentioned synthetic, so maybe you can break it down a little further.
Of course. I'm always a resident nerd, so please always get me to clarify. The synthetic means it's not been grown naturally, so it's not something that is created by the plant itself. It's actually created in a lab-type situation. So Delta-8 is created by CBD. CBD is a cannabinoid that is grown in the plant. So you isolate that and then create Delta-8. Between hemp and cannabis, the only real difference is how much Delta-9 THC is found in that plant substance.
So more THC in cannabis, and more, which is the sort of psychoactive ingredient, less in hemp, I take it?
That is correct.
Okay. Dr. Ramondar, I'm going to bring you into the conversation now. What sort of effect do hemp products have on people compared with cannabis?
Well, you know, you have that potency, the amount of the Delta-9 THC, and we, you know, see likely more effects from higher amounts or higher concentrations of the psychoactive components. But at the same time, like Jennifer was saying, there's so much variability in the products that are out there that teens can get their hands on that we really don't even know what's in there. And so their effects can also be variable. Because of the different potentially psychoactive components outside of Delta 9 and Delta 8. So, you know, in theory, hemp being such a low potency or low concentration of Delta 9 THC should have minimal effect on brains. And, but, you know, we can see in this unregulated market that, you know, it's the amount of Delta 9 THC and other things can be really out there.
Jennifer, so, go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Finish. Oh, I was just, you know, and I guess I didn't even get to the effects, but, you know, what we see is, you know, we can see heart rate changes in people, differences in their, in how they're feeling. You know, my patients who have used synthetic products or, you know, what they thought might be Delta 8 have felt like a less relaxing high that seems to come on quickly, seem maybe more forgetful or scattered, headaches during use. And, you know, we're also seeing that when people are, you know, have what may be an overdose or really an intense intoxication that lands them in the hospital, you know, the changes in heart rates can have some episodes of psychosis that, you know, can last for hours, even longer, and, you know, potentially some other long lasting effects.
So, Jennifer, we heard Dr. Raimondo there mention teens getting their hands on this, and I mentioned this lack of regulation. So what does that actually mean? Where can intoxicating hemp products be sold? What do they look like in stores?
So when I did the study that I did, and it was a very small one, they can be sold basically anywhere. Small smoke shops have been popping up all over the place. I focused on Chicago because that's where I'm based, but they have been just anywhere you go. As you heard earlier, they can be sold in gas stations as well, but a lot of them are in these new smoke shops. And they can even be within the distance of a school, even an elementary one, that the dispensaries are not allowed to be. And then with packaging, some of them are emulating common snacks with like Fritos and Cheetos and like Nerd candy. Those were some of the packaging that I saw. And they very much look like the normal snack. It would be easy to see how, especially a kid just looking to get some chips or something after school, could just not even realize what they're ingesting. I know I didn't read labels when I was that age, so it wouldn't surprise me if they didn't either.
Trips Ahoy, I think, was another brand that I heard mentioned. How have state and federal laws, why is this legal? How is this possible?
They are basically hiding behind the Hemp Act, because since they're using hemp to spray on synthetic chemicals, or sometimes just claiming that the cannabis is hemp, and nobody tests it since they're not regulated, they're just being able to kind of slide in underneath the radar because nobody's looking at it.
Dr. Raimondo, do you get the sense that people understand what, for the people you've maybe seen come into the hospital, do they understand what they were getting when they bought these products?
Well, the products are often not even labeled correctly. And so I think it's impossible for anybody to know what they're getting. And so, you know, and I also think there's a lot of stigma and fear as well around substance use in general, but also fear of getting in trouble too. So, you know, youth may not be totally forthcoming when they show up. Our drug tests also can easily miss these products, because there's so many different chemicals that can be in them that, you know, standard drug tests do not test for Delta 8 and other synthetic cannabinoids. So we are missing these. And then, you know, the best we can do is, you know, have a teen describe what they used. If they have the packaging, show it. But, you know, we know that packaging doesn't tell the whole story. So, you know, thankfully, emergency room providers and poison control do the best they can to support youth who have taken too much and, you know, their body's overwhelmed by it.
Yeah. All right. Let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We are talking today for the hour about intoxicating hemp products, which are largely unregulated, at least by the time they get to end users, very much unlike the legal marijuana or cannabis industry in Illinois, which is strictly regulated throughout the production and sales chain. We are speaking with Dr. Mariah Ramondar, who is medical director of the Substance Use and Prevention Program at Lurie Children's Hospital, and Jennifer Bash, a scientific consultant who authored a report on hemp products sold in Illinois last year. Jennifer, I want to share a text message we got from someone who heard about what we were talking about today. This person is anonymous, said, "I purchased a functional mushroom, quote unquote, product in Chicago in September. I was not asked to show ID. I paid with an Amex. At the time, my husband drove a semi, so he was very careful not to take anything containing THC or CBD. He examined the packaging thoroughly, went to the company website to check. No indication anywhere that the product contained THC. After taking it, he tested positive for THC, was forced to resign from his job, which paid over six figures, gave us access to excellent health care. He's starting a new full-time job next week, hopefully, but with a 60% pay cut from his previous job. We would like to pursue litigation against the company that manufactured the product, but have not been able to find an attorney who will take it on." Jennifer, I guess based on your work looking at this, does any of that surprise you, or how do you react to that?
Sadly, that doesn't surprise me at all. As I said, some of the products were labeled as hemp. So the packaging would say that it was a hemp product. And when I tested it on the instrumentation, it had a significant amount of Delta-9 THC. So unfortunately, that story, I'm sure, has happened more than once. As Dr. Ramondar said, a lot of the packaging does not match what I would find when I did the actual testing in the laboratory, including the amount of the active product. Sometimes it was higher, sometimes it was lower. There would often be extra cannabinoids in there where they would say they only had Delta 8. Almost every product that I tested had Delta 9 in that product, along with other cannabinoids such as CBD, CBN. So, and that's not even looking into things such as any sort of solvent that could be left behind from putting a synthetic on there. None of that is in the labeling. So unfortunately, that story is very possible and probably has happened many times.
Dr. Ramondar, just a few minutes left in our time together. Talk about, from your perspective, from a medical perspective, what is the importance of regulating these products?
These products should not be available for youth to get their hands on at gas stations and convenience stores where they're getting, you know, regular candy and chips after school. You know, these are things that could potentially have long-lasting brain and body effects. And we know that, you know, kids develop most healthily with their brains and bodies without having access to these potentially dangerous chemicals. So,
and Jennifer, what about, you know, the form of regulation? That's sort of where the debate is here. There's not that many people, I think, calling for zero regulation, but what form it takes is still up in the air. But I guess from your perspective, why does it matter that there's at least some sort of regulation on this?
From my perspective, basically because the vast majority of the products that I tested did not match their labeling at all. There were a couple that did. I will be absolutely honest about that. But the fact that people are ingesting something that they feel is exactly what that label says, they trust that the manufacturer labeled it correctly. And the sad part is that it's just not. So they're ingesting something that they just have no idea what they're putting into their body. It'd be like going to the grocery store and thinking that you're getting something that literally says it has no nuts in it whatsoever. You have a really bad peanut allergy, you eat it, and it suddenly has nuts, and now you're in trouble. That's really where my perspective is coming from.
Jennifer Bash and Dr. Mariah Ramondar, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you for having me.
Jennifer Bash is a scientific consultant who studied hemp products for a report that came out last year through the University of Illinois Chicago. And Dr. Mariah Remander is based at Lurie Children's Hospital in Chicago. She's medical director of the Substance Use and Prevention Program there. We originally spoke with them back in January. When we return, we're going to hear some more perspectives on how hemp should be regulated. This debate has been going on in and outside of the Illinois General Assembly for a while now. We talked with people in the hemp and cannabis industries to get their takes on this. Before we go to break, I do want to mention you can listen to our program anytime on YouTube. Just search for our producing station, Illinois Public Media. All right, more to come. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.